This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
This is another podcast of Worldwide Wave, the international LGBT news and current affairs show, every week on Australia's first LGBT radio station, Joy 94.9.
Surfing the globe, bringing you news, views, and current affairs for the LGBT community. This is the Worldwide Wave.
I think the LGBTI plus pride originators would be pretty appalled at the way in which pride has developed in most Western cities today. It's become so corporatized and commercialized. Now, I don't object to corporate sponsorship to help fund the event, but what I do object to is when the corporates dominate the event. And in London Pride for the last few years, the big corporates are the only ones that can afford huge, extravagant floats, so they become the dominant image of the whole parade. And I don't think we want to go down the route of taking pride away from the community and the grassroots, who are the core of the whole issue and the whole event. We need to give the community groups and the average, typical LGBTI plus person the pride of place in the Pride Parade, not the corporates, not the banks, the insurance companies, the big businesses. I also have some misgivings about state institutions like the army and the police marching in the parade when they have mostly not given public apologies for the persecution they visited upon us. Maybe if they'd done like a public apology, that might be a reason to say okay. But you know, I feel as someone who for many years myself was victimized and friends were victimized by the police, simply because of our sexuality or gender identity, I have some misgivings. Now, I know that the police today are very different from the police in the past. But in Britain, for example, the Metropolitan Police Commissioner has never apologised for the witch hunts, which were continuing right up until 20 years ago. I think the key message for Stonewall 50 has got to be an acknowledgement and recognition of the pioneers who made this global movement happen, but also solidarity and support globally with LGBTI plus activists and straight allies, particularly in countries where there's great homophobic, biphobic and transphobic persecution. I've always said that queer liberation knows no boundaries, that we can never rest until every LGBTI plus person on this planet is free and equal. Way back in the days of the Gay Liberation Front in London, I can remember getting up in the meeting and saying, look, you're all talking about things in Britain, but what about the hundreds of millions or even thousands of millions of LGBT people to come in countries where they're living under communist tyranny or right-wing dictatorships or the victims of death squads? You know, we can't be just Western-focused. This is a global movement. So that's really important. I think also that we need to recognise that even in Western countries, the battle is far from won. I mean, the levels of anti-LGBT plus bullying in our schools is unacceptably high, as is the level of anti-LGBT hate crime on our streets. It shows the battle is not yet finished, and we must continue this battle until in the West and everywhere else, every country, LGBTI plus people don't live in fear and live with safety and security. I will be going to the Stonewall 50 events in New York, but I will first of all be marching in the Reclaim Pride March, which has been set up by pioneers and veterans of 1969 and 1970. They are demanding, quite rightly, a resurrection of those inspirational ideals from that era, which were about social transformation and human liberation across the board. This new term, intersectionality, we had it way back 50 years ago. We didn't call it that, but we saw, you know, people in our community as not being just gay, but gay and black, gay and woman, gay and disabled, etc. And we saw the common cause with all the other movements for social emancipation. We need to rediscover that. We need to reconnect with the liberation ethos. And I can remember at the People's Revolutionary Convention in Philadelphia in 1970, Huey Newton of the Black Panthers got up and said that he supported the gay liberation struggle and believed that gay people were perhaps the most oppressed people in America and that black people should stand in solidarity with them. That kind of connectedness is so important. And in Britain, shortly afterwards, the Gay Liberation Front was the only non-black group to stand in solidarity with black activists who were framed in the Mangrove restaurant trial in London. It's making those connections. It's standing in solidarity with each other. That is so, so, so important. I will probably also go on the main march afterwards, because the Reclaim March is earlier in the day. But I really dislike the way in which the main World Pride March in New York, the Stonewall 50 March, is going to be completely dominated by big corporations and by politicians hustling for our votes. That's not what Stonewall was ever about. That's completely against the Stonewall principles of 1969. And we must remember that.
Thanks for listening to another podcast from World Wide Wave, the show that takes you around the globe one country at a time. World Wide Wave is the international news and current affairs show on Australia's LGBT radio station, Joy 94.9. You can listen live every Tuesday night from 7 p.m. Eastern Australian Time on 94.9 FM in Melbourne and online at joy.org.au. You'll find all our podcasts at joy.org.au/worldwidewave or follow us on Facebook for the latest international LGBT news. Search W3 Joy on Facebook now.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.